And good evening once again, everybody. Welcome to another Hoops HD bracket rundown, bracket racket podcast, whatever we're calling these things. We have an even bigger cast than last time. The entire Hoops HD team here, I believe. Let's go through everybody that's here. First of all, starting to my left, Warren Nolan, the owner and publisher of warrennolan.com. Warren, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Brandon, it's great to have you back. Second, you see over there flashing all kinds of stuff up on his screen. Don't know what it is Lee Delvecchio. Lee, how are you doing? I guess it's scores. You got.
I'm doing great.
Right?
I put a scoreboard page up. I mean, we can't have Jim Boeheim as part of this podcast. He's not allowed.
And as you can see from Lee's scoreboard there, we are actually recording this before a couple of games have gone final yet, including the Metro Atlantic Championship game that Iona is losing. So,
you have a way of accounting for this, Chad. I am very curious to hear.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. Next up, we have John.
Who's in the bracket?
John, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, Chad, here in the heart of Big East country.
Well west of me in Big East country. Joby's back with us as well, and she's bringing a little class to the show here.
Well, I mean, after my beautiful sound work that I did last time, I thought I'd dress it up a little bit tonight to make it.
And the one person that the one puppet that never brings any class to the show, David Griggs. David, how are you?
Who's in the field, Chad? I gotta know. None of us know. How come only Chad gets to know?
What we did again, just like we did last week, is everybody here submitted a S curve to me, a seed list to me, 1 through 68, plus a few other teams. We compiled the results, tabulated them, and came up with a consensus bracket, then bracketed it as well, and we're going to reveal them one line at a time, just like last time. And I'm going to start by pulling up the screen share right here on my screen. And if it worked, we should have a blank seed list showing.
I believe it does, yeah. Let me see. I guess we should have tested this before we went on, but that looks pretty good. It looks kind of big. Is that too big?
I can shrink it down a little bit. How's that?
That's better. Yeah, that's perfect right there. That's too small. Okay. It was perfect before, Chad, and then you ruined it.
Okay. There we go. Okay. So we've got it set to go. And what we're going to do is just get right on into this, and we're going to reveal the number one seeds. No change from last week, despite Virginia's loss. Kentucky number one overall, Virginia number two, Duke number three, Villanova number four. Let's start at the top here, and Lee, you weren't with us last week. Your thoughts on the one line here?
I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward. I was famously not as big on Duke's profile as everyone else at first, but you know, I've had some time to think it over and you know, pay attention. And yeah, it's a one seed profile. I mean, the losses concerned me, but you know, things shook themselves out a little bit over the week. I have no issues with the one seed line. I mean, it feels like we have a group of 7 or 8 really strong teams this year. And after that, I mean, when I was doing my own seed list, I don't know if you guys, it was the same for everyone else. There were teams that were getting seeds that I would have never put them at independently, but the way things shook out, there's quite a few teams that will be getting surprisingly high seeds, I feel like, in a few days.
Joby, being our Virginia guy here, Virginia had that loss over the weekend at Louisville. How close are they to Duke now, in your opinion?
And Duke's leapfrog? I actually had Nova ahead of them, believe it or not.
Really?
I actually think both Villanova and Duke might be ahead of Virginia on the seed line. The ACC tournament will definitely determine the results of that. I mean, if Duke wins the ACC tournament, and they're going to pass Virginia. If Virginia wins the ACC tournament, Virginia will be ahead, and then it'll be whoever goes further. I think they're both looking good for the one, Wisconsin being the one outstanding. Lee is exactly right. There are about 8 teams that have really separated themselves from the pack, and I will make one quibble with what he said. I use Virginia from last year. Virginia's number one profile from last year would only be a 2 seed and a low 2 seed this year. I think we have an unusually high number of very quality teams. I mean, that Kansas profile would be amazing most years, but there's no way they are one right now in this particular field.
That was the one I was struggling with because I wanted to – I mean, I originally a couple weeks ago had them as a one, but they just don't have the depth of a lot of the other profiles, and it's not a bad profile. It's just the others are better. And, you know, I mean, these one and two seed lines are going to be really packed with national championship quality teams this year.
David, let me throw this over to you here. If any of these, I think if Kentucky loses a game, they're safe as a one seed no matter what. Virginia, yeah. Duke, or Villanova, if they lose early in their conference tournaments, is there somebody that can jump up here, in your opinion, and steal a one seed, or are we locked in?
I think we're locked in. If Nova loses, I think they would. The thing about Duke and Virginia is there's only one game that separates Duke and Virginia in the standings, and they only played once, and Duke won. It was at Virginia. If the two were to play again, I think I made this point at some point, you could reason that Duke would beat them at home since they already beat them on the road. Those two are pretty close, and really – I don't think personally, and again, this is a discussion we're going to have as a committee, you should really penalize a team for failing to repeat what they've already done. Duke, Virginia, Kentucky don't really need to do anything else. Villanova maybe, just because I don't think they're quite there. And you know, if someone like Gonzaga or Kansas runs through the conference tournament and Nova goes out early, maybe they'll jump over them. Maybe Wisconsin as well, but I think three of the four are locked. In my opinion, they should be. Whether or not they are, we'll see.
Well, as far as this consensus goes, Wisconsin ended up being number five overall. We're going to reveal the two line here. Wisconsin, Kansas, Gonzaga, and Arizona. Arizona did get over Gonzaga in order to take the West Region spot. Even though Wisconsin was number five overall, they do go to Cleveland, kind of screwing Kentucky a little bit, but hey, they're Kentucky, so who cares?
Right, and that is, I mean, geography is important. If you can put teams on a bus, they're going to do it.
Warren, any thoughts on the teams on this two line?
You know, it's the same thing. We got eight really strong teams, and there they are. I don't think probably any one of us are going to argue that those aren't the ones and twos. And when we're talking about who could maybe take the one, I go with Wisconsin. I mean, they've only lost on the top end to Duke and Maryland. I think they could move up into that one if something happens early in one of the ACC tournament, maybe.
And John, let me bring you into the discussion here. Do you think there's anybody below these eight teams that has a chance to sneak up here on the two line if, say, Gonzaga, who is up seven as we do this right now, loses this game tonight to Pepperdine or tomorrow, or if Arizona loses early in the Pac-12 tournament or the like?
Anyone not named Kansas who can win the Big 12 tournament is going to be an automatic candidate right there, because they will probably have a win over Kansas and maybe one or two other high-profile wins in the Big 12 conference tournament.
And I think that's a really great point, that the strength of this Big 12 tournament might be stronger than, I think, David, you've said this, stronger than some regionals.
It is
out there.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at a team like Texas, now, I don't expect them to do this, but if they were to win this tournament, look at the path they would have to take to do it, and they're doing it away from home. Suddenly, they're like looking like a five or a six seed if they can run the table. Now, I'm not expecting that to happen, but I'm just saying, like, Oklahoma State or some of these teams that are kind of wavering here lately and down on the S-curve, I don't know where they're going to wind up in this bracket, but you get three monster wins away from home in a tournament like this, your profile is just turned upside down.
And that kind of reminds you of, and we were discussing this on the forums earlier tonight, actually, that 2011 UConn team that went into the Big East tournament as a bubble team, had they lost their 9-16 game to DePaul, they may not have made the field, ended up winning the Big East tournament, and I think they got a three seed out of it.
I don't know if they were on the bubble. I mean, they were.
I think if they were in as long as they beat DePaul, like, they wouldn't have been out with the DePaul loss because of anything other than losing to DePaul. And then they just, over the next 4 days, the seed just kind of climbed and climbed, and what ended up happening is, of course, you, in a matter of 4 days, made a bubble resume into a protected seed resume, which was pretty much the result of what Texas could run into. It's just when all you're doing is playing and beating other possible protected seeds. And that's why I think a team that hasn't been mentioned is if North Carolina somehow were to win the ACC tournament, I think they could get in the discussion just because of what they would go through. It wouldn't be as impressive. I mean, I just don't trust Rick Barnes enough in the first game, let alone to win, you know, the whole tournament. But I think North Carolina is another team where if they were to win the conference tournament, would at some point, I'm bringing it up now on my computer, which of course takes an hour.
Well, it would be Louisville, Virginia, Duke, most likely. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I mean, they actually, I think, have a very deep profile now. I understand and agree that they're not in the top two lines. But if they have those three non-home wins, I mean, that radically, I think, changes that profile. And I think they sneak in as a two seed.
There was also another year in 2004 where there were two other teams that went from bubble status to pretty decent seeds in the tournament. Maryland was a bubble team in 2003-04, wound up getting a four seed in their region and lost in the second round. Xavier went from NIT to a seven seed and wound up going to the Elite Eight that season.
On that note, actually, why don't we go ahead and reveal the three line here. And this is, once again, the Big 12 line as Oklahoma, Iowa State, and Baylor all on this line along with Maryland. Warren, let me turn it over to you here. I know you're an Oklahoma guy. What do you think about these three Big 12 teams here? And who do you feel is the best of them?
Well, I think, I put Iowa State, based on the resume, at the top of that group. But, I mean, yeah, I like Oklahoma, and I don't want to probably dwell on that because then, that's sort of my team anyway, so I don't want to be a homer about it. But they've got probably all the – well, I guess it depends on which region they get put into. If they're in this region, then I don't – they probably won't go as far as they could if they were over in the West right now. But I like Oklahoma for the potential and Iowa State right now for the resume.
That's such a good point. I think we've got, if you look at just the top three seeds, we have four really strong regions here and ended up with some pretty good balance when we put this bracket together. But David, is there anybody here that you think we made a mistake on so far with the consensus?
No. The one team I'm not as big on is Iowa State, simply because they haven't been as strong on the road as anybody else that's made the field so far. I actually like Northern Iowa more. It's hard to make that argument because Northern Iowa's paper just is not there, but I think their team's better than Iowa State, especially when you're talking neutral floor road games. But other than that, if you're asking me, I would argue for Iowa State, or I'm sorry, I would argue for Northern Iowa over Iowa State. I'd probably lose the argument because if you don't have the paper, it's hard to win the argument, even when you're always right like me. But that would be the only thing I would change. But Iowa State's profile is pretty strong if you look at their quality wins, but they're just not as good on the road. They had to struggle over the weekend. I forget who they played, but it was somebody that wasn't that good.
Well, let's go ahead and pull up the four line here. You mentioned that Northern Iowa team. They did end up getting a protected seed out there in the South region, in the same region with Duke and Iowa State. Also seeing here West Virginia, North Carolina, and Notre Dame completing our protected seeds.
Congratulations, West Virginia, on making the four line. Enjoy Seattle.
Enjoy Seattle. North Carolina on the way to Portland. You see, those were the last two teams that got the last two protected seeds and get that penalty of heading out west. Joby, do you think one of these teams would rather be a line lower just so they don't get sent out west like that?
Well, North Carolina has already played Kentucky, and if that Sweet 16 matchup comes, I don't see how that just shellacking changes, to be very straight. North Carolina would beg to probably be on the five. Go ahead and give Louisville that. Maybe they intentionally lose to Louisville in the ACC tournament to give them that spot. I don't know.
Well,
John, any thoughts on the other two teams here, West Virginia and Notre Dame?
Well, I could see Notre Dame possibly being near the bottom of the four line simply because of their out-of-conference schedule. But the only other team I probably would have included in the four line would have been Arkansas.
And Lee, I know you've been really outspoken about that on-conference schedule for Notre Dame. They actually ended up looking out of this bracket and got sent to Columbus, even though they're on the four line.
I think just for the actual bracket, there would be 100% chance the committee would flip North Carolina and Notre Dame. Like, I mean, 100% chance, because for a variety of reasons, including that Notre Dame might play their first decent out-of-conference game by force. So that could also happen. Yeah, no, it's a very – Notre Dame, I think, is a protected seed. I think they've had a very good season, but it's hard for me to not have them as maybe the last protected seed just because the paper is so much thinner. That's the other thing I like about these teams. It's not just that we have teams that are good that have had great seasons, but for the most part, I can't think of any of the ones here that stand out to me as having had like a weak non-conference schedule. They've all done a very good job of being tough. Which one besides Notre Dame am I missing out?
Oh, no, I thought you were including Notre Dame.
Oh, God, no. Jamie Dixon finds Notre Dame's out-of-conference schedule shameful. I mean, it's to the point where I almost don't want to give Notre Dame a top-four seed line, because if you give it to Arkansas or somebody else, really anybody else in Division I would probably have a stronger schedule, it would be a pretty clear signal sent. But it's been enough years of Mike Bray doing this that I literally don't expect them to ever schedule tough out of conference. So it is what it is. They've set themselves.
It's been halfway decent. They would be up on the three line probably. I mean, it was just so bad.
Yep, but top 100 next year maybe. Is that a reasonable goal? I mean, they should hire Warren. They need to hire you out as like a consultant, because I don't know why every year they seem to not understand how this works with the scheduling. Or they probably just don't care, is what it is.
Might not care.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, when you're selecting how good a team is, I think Notre Dame has established themselves to be a good team despite the non-conference schedule, certainly not because of it, because they played so well in conference. But here's the thing, and it is the reality, like it or not, it is the reality. When you have a committee that consists of conference commissioners and athletic directors, predominantly from the mid-level and low-level conferences, they just don't want to see a schedule like that. And I almost think that they'll give them a worse seed, even though they might be a better team than what their profile indicates.
Well, and the human element is, we know how long that Mike Bray and the setup's been there at Notre Dame. You can't tell me two or three of those mid-major reps on the committee haven't tried to schedule Notre Dame at some point and been completely blown off. And that's the human element which Notre Dame would have earned. I mean, it might not be fair, but I mean, when you just go out of your way to avoid, and they're in a part of the country that's rich with really good metric teams to play against. They're not, you know, out stuck in the Pacific Northwest like Gonzaga, who still goes out of their way to play. Obviously, they're not Notre Dame, but, you know, Notre Dame, the whole Horizon League is right there. I mean,
well, the MAC is all within a bus ride. I mean, that, you know how deep the MAC is of just solid teams this year? I mean,
Notre Dame's dozens of deep tournament runs with high seeds, you can understand why they think they're above it. Oh, no, wait. They always lose early to a level of team they are not prepared for. But we have a great panel tonight. I could do 2 hours of Notre Dame bashing. I'll stop here.
Well, we're going to move on to the five lines so we can move on to another subject. We feel them here. Arkansas, Utah, Butler, and Louisville setting up. Hey, there's a good team for Notre Dame to play, Louisville.
Wow.
And that is a permissible matchup there because they only did play once this season.
If they play in the conference.
They tried to avoid it if they could, though. I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, if they do meet in the conference tournament, that matchup would be impermissible. Right now, it is a permissible matchup.
They're on opposite sides of the tournament. But yeah.
Yeah, so it's unlikely that they will meet a second time this year. This Utah team here. We've spoken a lot about it. David, what is it about this Utah team that has them so highly ranked, and yet I just keep looking at their profile and just wanting to know where the meat to it is?
I think you got to peel back the onion a little bit. Like, you know, they went out to, was it Oregon State And that's not a win that any bracketologist is going to be jumping up and down about. But I think it is a win that the committee will give them a lot of credit for. They're one of only two teams that won there, Oregon being the other one. So, again, they don't have any really big wins, but they're high in the rankings. Presumably that means they're going to be high on the NABC rankings that are submitted to the committee and that whoever it is that's monitoring them. I'm pretty sure Scott Barnes has the Pac-12. Not that that matters, but, I just think that I'm not as big on them, but they're high in the rankings. They don't really have any bad losses, and they do have some decent wins, if not, albeit not great ones.
And, John, why don't I turn over to you on this big – our second Big East team ended up being Butler once again. Do you think that that's right, or do you think that there's another Big East team that should have been up above the Bulldogs?
I was going to make one other point before I get to Butler.
Okay.
Going back to Notre Dame and Louisville, they would have to face in the conference title game in order to meet a second time this year. So full disclosure there. So now – question again on Butler.
Just wanted to know if you thought, being our Big East guy out there in the Midwest, if you thought that that there was another Big East team that should have been ahead of them for our second Big East team, or if they really are the second best.
I think last week I said I would have had Providence slightly ahead of Butler, but I think Butler gained back that advantage by winning at Providence. Also gave him a key win after Andrew Kravitz came back from his injury.
Joby, is there somebody that we are missing at this point that you really think that we are slid too far down?
I said it last week. I'm still on the Georgetown train here. I think Georgetown, they beat Butler just a week ago. So, I mean, that's Exhibit A. And the way I look at Georgetown also is I said this before, I'll say it again. They just have a weird matchup problem with Xavier and Providence. You kind of look beyond those games. Wow, that is a almost protected seed level. That's a protected seed level ish sort of resume. I'm more, if we're looking at the Big East as a column, which I know we teams get bids, not conferences. But if we're looking within the conference at the quality of those teams, I go with the Hoyas actually.
Well, let's reveal the number six line here, and we do see those Georgetown Hoyas on this line. Providence is not on this line. Wichita State slid down to the six after losing to Illinois State in the Missouri Valley Tournament. VCU, and Lee, I want to bring you in on this other team here in the Midwest region there, SMU. I don't think you had them quite this high.
You're so baiting me. We have Warren Nolan on with us, who's literally, I'm not kidding, one of the preeminent like people analyzing the sport and has been for years. Sorry to date you, Warren. We've got him on a podcast with a puppet, and now we're going to have him on somebody screaming about SMU. I think so much of the SMU hype that's been made, or the case that's been made for them, has been based on them being, quote, snubbed last year, which has nothing to do with this year. Their best win, according to KenPom, is their home win against UConn. And let me be the first to tell you that does not impress me as a UConn alum. They won the regular season title in a barely top 10 conference. I'm not entirely certain. They actually should make the title game on their half, but like they played a tougher schedule this year, and I understand that. But what did they really do against it other than playing against it? I mean, there are plenty of MEAC teams that play tough teams. Some of them actually won games. That's just my issue with SMU being this high, is that I understand they went out and scheduled tough, but they didn't really win any of the games that were tough. And so for me, I mean, I need to see some level of success. I also understand I'm on an island with SMU, and that, yes, I know a team that's top 30 in pretty much every metric is probably a top six seed line team.
Well, Ward, Lee mentioned you here. I know you had, this is right around where you had an SMU in your seed list. Can you make a case for them being right here?
Other than that,
I can agree with some of that. I've got Utah and SMU here kind of the same, just because I think they don't have those really strong wins. And you can make a case for having them a little bit lower because some of those teams behind them, like, St. John's, you know, probably have better wins at the top. So it's just sort of, I feel they should be probably a little bit lower, but not a whole lot.
And I feel better already having Warren say that, but also I think SMU Utah is a great comparison because we mentioned Utah earlier. The issue with Utah is they just were close to having a dynamic kind of – they have chances to get that dynamite win to really lock them into a protected seed, and they just – for me, it comes down to the Arizona home game. They absolutely had that game with 5 minutes to go, and they completely collapsed. And that, for me, was emblematic of why Utah – I know their metrics are great. I was a fan of them in the preseason, but, you know, not that it relates to what we're doing. It's hard for me to see them going deep in the tournament just because against elite-level competition, they're close, but they aren't there yet. And I feel that way less so about SMU just because, I mean, yeah, SMU, they went and they played at Gonzaga. Yeah, well, they got their doors blown off. Well, you know, they played at Indiana. Well, one, nobody thought Indiana was going to be as good as they were, and two, they still lost to an 8-9 seed team. So I think... SMU and Utah have sort of similar profiles where the numbers are good, but when it comes down to, well, what's their best win, if you said what it was, you'd be like, well, I mean, it doesn't really match what the numbers are, so to speak, but I do think this is realistically where they will end up with the committee.
Right. Let me turn over to Joby here, being our Virginia guy, to mention the fact that we have the fifth-place team in the Atlantic 10 as our first A-10 team in, all the way up on the sixth line here, the VCU. Do you think the committee would even have them this high, given how they've played since Weber went out with the injury?
Yeah, that I know. I had them right around here because they've recovered a little bit. Yeah, they're a different team without Briante Weber. But remember, with Briante Weber, they were a protected seed type level team, about four level. They've dropped a couple of lines without Weber. But they've hung on enough to maybe deserve this or a seven seed. Still wearing white. I can't quibble too much, but yeah, they're not the same team, and they are prone. You know, if I'm Baylor on our little bracket here, if I'm Baylor, I'm kind of excited that, you know, I have VCU as my team that I play instead of the Georgetown team I mentioned or Wichita State coming at me in Jacksonville.
VCU is going to be in trouble if they can't beat Richmond. Especially if they lose a third time coming up in the 8-10 tournament.
That Richmond VCU game was absolutely outstanding, the last one. I just loved it. And what's funny is the Northern Iowa VCU game might have been my second favorite team. So I will say VCU plays entertaining basketball with Havoc. That I will give them that.
Well, I'm glad somebody in Virginia I'm just kidding. I had to take the Virginia shot. No, I actually think that VCU is a team that could be in trouble here in championship week in terms of dropping. The reason why they're so high on our bracket in this case, I think, is because we're waiting to see the team, and I think it'll end up being a Big 12 team just because of who they'll be playing each other, that makes the move where they improve their profile. I think right now this is high for VCU, especially without Weber going forward. But I think they're this high because we haven't seen the teams move past them yet. I think it will happen, even if VCU, you know, wins against Richmond. I mean, you balance that against, you know, a Big 12 team beating pretty much any other Big 12 team. I think VCU is in line to fall here a little bit, just with some other power conference teams battling each other during championship week. I mean, the A-10's really, really good and deep, and like you said, they finished fifth in it. And, I mean, I'm surprised we have them this high. I just don't expect them to stay there as the week plays out.
Well, let's pull up the seven line and see the teams that could possibly jump up over them here. And I think right now I see four teams, at least three of which could jump up over VCU, Providence, Iowa, and St. John's. San Diego State, I'm not as high on as some of the rest of you are. John, let me bring you in here. You've been the big Mountain West guy all season for some reason about the San Diego State team here.
Well, San Diego State does have three decent wins this year: Colorado State, BYU, and Utah. But losing a pair of games to Boise State is going to put them in somewhat of a danger zone in terms of putting them closer to the 8-9 line. We'll have to see how they do in the Mountain West tournament this weekend.
Well, I gotta say,
they have the problem of likely playing UNLV in their first Mountain West game in Vegas. Now, UNLV's not very good, but it is in Vegas, and that could really be a problem for San Diego State if they don't get that game.
And this is at the Thomas and Mack Center as well, so it's right on Vegas' home court.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm a little surprised that am I the only person that valued Providence a lot more than Georgetown, or at least more than Georgetown? I'm kind of surprised that they're below them. I don't know under what metric their wins are better. Now, granted, their losses are worse. But you know, losing to Brown, not good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's why that was a differentiator for me, David. But I had all of those three Big East teams we've mentioned, Butler, Providence, and Georgetown. I had all of them bumped up a little bit more than what the brackets come out. So I had Providence higher than this. But let's face it, we didn't mention it. Look at on the sixth seed line, but look at what could happen in Pittsburgh. Maryland, Georgetown, two teams that refuse to play each other.
Oh, never mind. I would throw any and all complaints.
We skip right over it. Oh. Let's pay attention here.
Yes.
So we might as well flip them with SMU because there's no way in hell the committee would actually let us have that much fun.
Yeah, I was just about to say how I was surprised, but yet in complete agreement that we would have Georgetown ahead of Providence. How did I not see that? Wow.
Time around.
Does anyone make some comments? Anyone make some comments about the St. John's team here? I think this is one of the fastest rising teams in the bracket right now. And if they make this run in the Big East tournament, they could leapfrog over both Providence and Georgetown.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very high on the St. John's team. I think that they're better than maybe their resume indicates. But, I mean, they're top 35 in KenPom. This is a team that's won, I'm trying to backdate it. They've won 7 of their last 9 games. The 2 losses were at Georgetown and at Villanova. I mean, that I can't really knock them too badly on that. That also includes a home win over Georgetown by 11 points. This is a team that's really starting to get itself together. I mean, yes, they did just lose by about 7,000 points to Villanova. But when I was watching that game, that was more like, holy shit, Villanova was really good. I didn't think that was – I thought St. John's really just somebody has to play Villanova on senior day. It happened to be them. And they got their doors blown off. But if they could stabilize, I mean, that comes right after. They've had really, for the most part, convincing wins over the preceding, you know, 7 or 8 games. I mean, they only won by 1, you know, at home against Xavier, which concerns me because that was a chance for Xavier to actually win outside of the state of Ohio, which never happens anyway. But yeah, no, I really like the St. John's team, and coming up, they've got a game Thursday night at Providence. So I mean, if they can get that game, and then or not at Providence, they've got a game Thursday night in the Big East tournament with Providence. That to me feels like kind of a seed line game right there.
What would be the 2 or 3 seed that runs into St. John's the way they're playing?
Yeah, well, unless it's you know
Georgetown or Butler,
right? Or I was gonna say 1 seed Villanova. But,
okay. And then Xavier is a dangerous 6 in the Big East tournament as well.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I like about St. John's profile is, I mean, their worst loss is really, you know, is Creighton, which is a conference game. I mean, they don't have any sub-100 losses. I mean, yeah, Creighton's obviously the worst team in the Big East this year, but there are a lot of teams. It's rare that you find a team this low on a seed, on a curve, where they don't have a loss outside of the top 100.
Yeah, you know, those losses they did have at Seton Hall, at Creighton, back at the home game, they beat them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so they canceled it out at worst.
David, let me ask you a question here. Iowa here on the 7 line, this is our third Big Ten team in after Wisconsin and Maryland. Does that surprise you?
That they're in? I mean, no,
the number 3 Big Ten team.
Not really, no. I mean, it just hasn't been a solid conference this year. Ohio State has – talk about a team that can't win outside of Ohio, them and them and Xavier. Nobody else really has the profile. I am not big on Indiana at all. I'm sure they're in the field. They were in my field. I realize that everybody else probably liked them more, but no, I mean, Iowa, there just hasn't been much in the Big Ten this year. I still think Tim Miles and company will – there are just 8 – wins away from the Final Four. But other than that, yeah, it's just been kind of a down year out of the top. And I think it's really hurt Wisconsin because the thing about Nova is that they were able to get a big win on the road at Butler. Like, Butler's not a protected seed now, but they're close. Virginia and Duke got big wins. Kentucky got big wins out of conference. But with Wisconsin not having highly ranked teams on the schedule that they could play and beat on the road outside of Maryland, I think that might be one of the things that's keeping them off the one.
Let's go ahead and reveal the next line here, the 8 line. Speak about a couple more Big Ten teams right here. Both Michigan State and Ohio State came in on the 9 and the 8 line, along with Okie State and Cincinnati.
Can I just point out that I think Ohio State's profile is utter trash. It's
seconded.
I mean, I realize that they're in the rankings. The committee will probably overvalue them for the same reason the voters were, and I'm not sure what the voters like about them. The NABC will probably like them, but they have done absolutely nothing other than beat Maryland at home.
Can I point out Kentucky versus Cincinnati and Louisville?
Yeah. I'm looking at 3 amazing potential matchups if the 8s get through. Cincinnati, Kentucky, as Lee said, Michigan State, Virginia is a rematch of the Sweet 16, one of the great Sweet 16 games last year. And the other game is I need to see it. What was it?
It was Maryland, Georgia.
Yeah, it's Duke, Ohio State. Two classic programs going at each other, and we'll see if Ohio State can win on the road because they'll be playing in Charlotte.
I think this would be a rather unclassic addition to that series. But
I think that a Villanova-Oklahoma State game could be a pretty good one. That Oklahoma State team has proven they could beat anybody and lose to anybody this year. So,
and I think Arizona-San Diego State game, just to see San Diego State, we know they're horrific offense. Like, they're so unwatchable on offense, but defensively they're excellent. And they would have their hands full. I think on the defensive end, they can give Arizona some fits and maybe keep the game close. I have no idea how they get the 30 points, but like that's kind of my MO with San Diego State at this point.
Yeah. Can I just ask a question? For those of you that voted Ohio State this high, which it must have been all of you because I don't believe it was me, did you put them up here because you thought this is where the committee would have them, or do you think this is where they actually are?
I'll tell you, David, for me personally, the reason I had Ohio State this high really came down to the fact that I dislike so many profiles below this so much that I had to put somebody here.
Yeah, this is what I was alluding to. Like, I agree that how could Ohio State be this high, but, like, somebody has to, you know? And this is kind of the unfortunate side of having a great top 12 or so dynamite teams through the protected line is that once we get down here, folks, bring a flashlight because the rats are out. I mean, should Ohio State be this high? Probably not, but this year they can get there.
And, David, I had 3 or 4 teams ahead of them. I think I'm in your camp. But the fact is, if they're sitting on my 9 seed, Lee's right, that normally that would be the bubble team, especially with the lack of ability to do anything on the road. I mean, what was it? Minnesota is their only top 100 win on the road? Ugh.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, as with tabulating the votes, probably the first 6 and 7 lines, it was fairly close across the board. Once we got down to the 8 line and lower, the votes were all over the place in this stuff. There were people that had, you know, there were 10 and 15 spot differences among teams between our various votes. Wow. And let's take a look at the 9 line right now.
I want to pile on Ohio State, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Warren.
No, when we did our initial ballot, which we haven't got to that, you know, we're not getting to that. But when I got back to Ohio State, I said, I'm not putting them on there because I think really they wouldn't be safe. In a normal year, they wouldn't be safe.
Well, I'll turn over to Lee on that. Lee didn't even list them as being under consideration. He doesn't even think they need to be on either ballot.
There you go. I think you're only getting in as an auto bid, which is crazy. I had to take a couple of stands. Okay?
How fun is the Charlotte sub-regional? Oh, my gosh. With that.
Yeah, let's
look at the two Charlotte. and there will not be a Duke fan in attendance. Yeah.
Here's our 9 seeds: Oregon, Michigan State versus Davidson in Charlotte, Ohio State versus NC State in Charlotte, and Okie State versus LSU. Duke is in a lot of trouble here.
Why would
Oklahoma State LSU game? There is some talent on the floor.
Yeah, there is.
That is a.
Oh no, it wouldn't matter. I was gonna say, wouldn't you avoid the Duke and NC State matchup? But no.
Again, they only played once this year.
Davidson and Virginia. Oh, only
and NC State fans complained with the new divisions that they only play one of them once every year. Oh, be careful what you wish for.
Oh, I think they would love this.
Yeah, that's true.
Charlotte's already filled with Virginia and Duke there, but NC State. I mean, the prices for that regional just tripled when you slapped NC State there, and Davidson there too.
And Virginia, Michigan State, Ohio State, bring fans. So.
Nothing to do with Davidson. That team Davidson scared the hell out of Virginia.
They're gonna have to move it to the football stadium.
Well, hold on a second, because Davidson in the past has played, quote, home games against UNC in that arena. Who is technically hosting that? Because if Davidson is the official host, we would obviously have to move that.
UNC Charlotte, right?
Charlotte is hosting it, yeah.
Oh, man, what a grift they have at the state of North Carolina. No, you host it this year. I can't wait for UNC Wilmington to be the host in 2 years when Charlotte has it again, magically.
Let's move on right on down to the 10 line now. Keep things rolling here. And here we go. Providence versus Dayton in Columbus. Iowa, Xavier, St. John's, Colorado State, San Diego State, Ole Miss. And that is permissible for Dayton to be playing in Columbus as the lower seed. It's only the top 4 seeds we have to protect on that.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Xavier is equidistant. That would be... God, I wish they would play each other. Oh, my God, that would be a fun one.
Wisconsin play Providence.
Furious here. Though.
What's that?
Wisconsin has to be furious because they already get a Providence team, which is probably better than a 7, or they get Dayton basically playing at home. Hey, if you make it to the regional final, congratulations. You get to play Kentucky as maybe the 5th overall. You play number 1 overall. I mean, that's just Wisconsin. Just fans would not be pleased with this bracket.
Can we talk a little bit about this Colorado State team? Lee, I would like your take on them, actually, because I think that this is a team that barely belongs in the field, if even in. And you guys, they got some pretty high votes to get up there to the number 10 line.
Yeah, I like them. I think it's a factor of it's hard for my mind to reconcile how bad the Mountain West really is this year compared to the past. I'm trying to pull their profile up, to be honest with you, before I start making arguments, because you know me, I always like to have facts on my side.
Well, they have no top 100 road wins, and that's my major, major hole for me in a profile.
Yeah, I mean, I actually picked them to win the Mountain West tournament in the Jerome 14, so I think based off of that, that might have been
my
pick. I do actually think they'll win the Mountain West tournament. They're one of my upset picks. I mean, but yeah, not having any road wins is a concern, but for me it just goes back to, there are teams, I mean, they're a little different than, because you don't think they're on the field. There are teams this year that are going to be like 3 or 4 seed lines higher than they would be last year once you get outside of, the top 4 lines. I've just pulled up the Ken's app on my phone. I wish I had a Warren's app on my phone. But, I mean, the schedule isn't that bad. They don't have the road wins, but, I mean, they scheduled Georgia State at home, won convincingly. That team will probably be in the field. Neutral site, they won a tournament that wasn't a very strong field, but they still, they won it. That allowed them to avoid having a complete, nuclear-type loss. I think the win over Colorado obviously helps you down the line. That was at Colorado. Colorado's not any good, but it's a Pac-12 team. And I think their metrics are being buoyed by that. You get the road win over Colorado. As Colorado plays everyone else, it lifts them. They did win at home against Boise State. They split the series, the home and home. I mean, for me, it's their worst loss is, at the Pit, which isn't great, but it's not a terrible loss. I think their profile is a case of no bad losses more than really great wins.
Warren, can I bring you back in here to discuss this Ole Miss team here at the 10 line? This is a team that is falling, and I've seen on some other bracket projections that them being a first 4 in, first 4 out type of team at the moment. Do you think they've really fallen that far?
I don't think they've fallen that far. I did hear the buzz going around about, you know, them getting way out on the bubble, and but I think when you compare them to these other teams that are all around them, we haven't got to them yet. but the ones that we're about to discuss, I think, are not going to be as good as what's on Ole Miss's resume. I mean, at Arkansas, you know, Oregon, Cincinnati, and A&M's right there on the bubble. They beat them. I mean, so those are, like, good wins. Nothing really bad for a loss out there. I mean, but they are falling. I will agree with that.
I mean, for them, they've got the losses to the Charleston Southern loss is concerning, and also the Western Kentucky loss. And I'm holding against them the fact that they lost at home to TCU in December, back when people were trying to sell TCU's, you know, mustard, and they were a critical part in allowing that to be a thing for a moment. We all had to deal with.
So I agree 100%, Lee. I'm with you, buddy.
that's why I have them that low. I mean, say what you will about Colorado State. There's nothing on there as bad as Charleston Southern and Western Kentucky. Now, there's nothing on Colorado State's as good as Arkansas, but those are two huge stinkers.
TCU was actually in my field via computer rankings, which should never have happened with that profile.
Get a new computer.
Quality win at Ole Miss.
Also, losing at home to Vanderbilt. I know Vanderbilt's metrics are good, but Vanderbilt's terrible. That's as bad a loss to me as Western Kentucky.
But then on the other end, they took Kentucky to overtime, right?
Yeah, they did. That's why we have them in. I mean, right? Is that pretty much?
A&M also did, though. Texas A&M, I dare say, is probably out.
Well, the way I function.
Ole Miss did it at Kentucky. A&M did it at home.
True.
Right. Well, in my mind, and I was actually impressed watching Ole Miss in that game. I actually think Kentucky lost both those games. I know they didn't, but I've acted like they have. Because I don't know how in the hell. Ole Miss played exceptionally well. That wasn't a game where, it got to overtime. You know, the better team pulls away, whatever. They did some stupid things. They played toe-to-toe with Kentucky and OT and just came out in the short stick. It wasn't like what A&M did in overtime, which, yep, if I had any hair, I would have ripped it out of my freaking scalp.
Well, let's move on to the 11 line here. And when I reveal it, we are going to be revealing two of our first four teams. There had to be a seed line shift here, and I ended up shifting the third and the fourth first four teams with the top two first four teams in order to make the bracket work. And so these are actually going to see our last two teams in first, and we'll see the two teams above them when we get down to the 12 line, just so you know. So here we go. Boise State, Temple, Georgia, Indiana versus Illinois in an all Big Ten matchup there to go at the 11 line.
Okay, and we have confirmation via the book. This is a lot. Well, what did they say
the reason here and why you're going to see here is that we end up with three Big Ten teams in the first four. So I just gave away who one of the other teams are that made the field. So it became absolutely impossible to avoid it. Indiana and Illinois, only having played once this year, was a logical matchup, and it would have been the last two teams in anyhow.
And those two, what is the temperature of that rivalry? It was really hot for a while. I think it's cooled off some. That one would be fun.
Well, I think most of the heat applied there is a hatred of Tom Crean, which is really held by the Indiana fans at this point as much as anybody else.
Yeah. So,
I mean, they wouldn't, but I don't think that many Indiana fans would be that brokenhearted to lose that game if it helps them towards Brad Stevens. at all, or anybody else, actually.
They're not getting Brad Stevens.
I know. How about any other human, I think? It's a very, very weird vibe coming out. I mean, the vote of confidence, which is usually a vote of no confidence, that came out in favor of Tom Crean recently. But, yeah, other than that, the temperature of the rivalry, it's cooled a little bit. Plus, look, this would be back-to-back years in the tournament for Illinois, but I think they've expected to be a little better at this point. I don't think he's in jeopardy.
No, they weren't in last year.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of 2 years ago. I think that with the recruiting Illinois's had, these results don't reflect the quality of players that he's recruited. So not this year, but I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Gross to win that game before you factor in that, yeah, it's against the, you know, Indiana. And if Illinois can get that game, they could – I mean, they're a real threat for Wichita State.
Anybody else have John, let me turn to you. Is there any comments on the other three teams on the 11 line, Temple, Boise, Georgia?
I'm just a little surprised that you could have flip-flopped Temple with either Indiana or Illinois, although I do like the temperature that you pointed out as far as Indiana and Illinois facing each other.
There were a lot of matchup issues here with Indiana and Illinois. Would have been the potential matchup with Maryland there would have invalidated that flip.
Georgetown Temple is a good game. I am not big on Temple. I think they were my very last team. I know they have the home win against Kansas. I am a little surprised they're this far in.
I do think they should be this far in. They had a tough schedule. They got the key out of conference win where they blitzed Kansas. Nobody else on this line has got anything I can think of off the top of my head that's that big of a chip. I mean, we're talking about all teams around them that are barely in, and this is a team that blew out Kansas that has wins, you know, I mean, not much else outside of that, I'll admit, but played a tough schedule. The win over Louisiana Tech, that's a good win. I think it's a very good team. Depending on how the week shakes out, of course, I'm a homer. If UConn somehow wins that conference tournament, those become top 50 wins all of a sudden, the two that they have. I think Temple's profile can actually is better than it appears. But obviously, it's the same argument I made with the other teams. They really don't have a terrible loss. I mean, UNLV on a neutral court isn't great. St. Joe's, I don't think I have to tell David what that game is like every year.
Mm-hmm. Does that matter, though? Like, I realize that that's a heated Big Five game. I mean, probably one of the hottest ones. I think it's actually hotter than Joe's Nova sometimes. But does it matter that it's a rivalry? If St. Joe's is horrible, they're horrible.
Horrible might be a little strong. They're not great.
Not good.
Yeah. They're also, I mean, they play in a very difficult conference as well.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and pull up the final at-large teams here. You're going to see the last two first four teams as well as our first four out populate right now. There it is. It's Texas and Purdue. That's why we had three Big Ten teams in here. Warren, let me turn to you about this Texas team. Getting into the field, what are your thoughts on them?
Well, they're right. Let's see, I had them at 45. They are.
So this is right where you had them then.
Yeah, they've been falling down the ladder for the last month. They, I don't know. I mean, they're so close to being out that if they don't win. If they don't do something in the tournament, they're going to be gone, I think.
I know every rung on the ladder, but I can't put Texas's profile next to Boise State's and take Boise. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I know it's Rick Barnes, and I totally expect him to lose to Texas Tech in the first game, but they've had so many – Texas, there was going to be that team in the Big 12, we knew, and Texas was the perfect candidate looking back that was just – going to get walloped by that schedule, and it's Texas, but I still think they're a better team than Boise State.
I am not that big on, I'm not that big on Illinois. I get why Miami's out. Are we talking about everything here? How is UCLA with just two true road wins even this close? I just don't like them at all. I don't see what everybody else sees in them. I don't even think Chad, did I even have them in my top 8, 9? They weren't.
Yeah, like I said, these votes were all over the place. Miami, Texas A&M, UCLA, BYU ended up being the top four. There were some serious votes for I'm going to change the screen here for a second just to get down to some of these other names. Old Dominion, Tulsa, Murray State, Richmond, Pittsburgh, Louisiana Tech, who actually is an automatic bid, Stanford, K-State, Buffalo, and Minnesota all receive votes as well to be within the top 8 out, not to be in the field, but within the top 8 out.
Who likes UCLA? Somebody must. I just don't see it.
I think I did. So you can blame.
I think you had UCLA in the field, and I think above the first four even.
Yeah, I liked them. Again, it was a situation of not having any really bad losses. I know they don't have a ton of great wins, but they do have a 10-point win over Utah. They beat Oregon.
Yep.
In one of the two matchups. A very tough out of conference schedule. You know, the Kentucky game didn't go great. no, it could be better. But you know, they accounted themselves pretty well in the Oklahoma game. The North Carolina game got away from them, but I like the schedule they had. I think they might have been missing a couple guys early in the season. It's been so long since the season started. I can't remember last week. But I just like UCLA also with the ability in the Pac-12 tournament to make some noise. I did a little bit of projecting when I sent you those picks. But, yeah, that was why I liked them. I'm not in love with them. If you want to tell me I'm crazy they should be lower, I'm perfectly willing to agree with that. It's not exactly an easily huggable profile. I mean, the win at Stanford is looking less impressive by the minute, but at the time was pretty impressive.
I'm not big on Stanford either.
Jovi, our first team out was Miami. Did you feel that they belonged in or out?
I truly believe that if Miami makes the quarters of the ACC tournament, they're going to pass the Big Ten team that loses. I just can't. You know, we talked about, well, Temple has the great win at home over Kansas. That's all they have. Miami has maybe, you could argue, the best win of any team anywhere with the road win at Duke.
Yeah.
They have, obviously, we know what their warts are. It's four top 100 losses, Eastern Kentucky, et cetera. But this is a team that screams first four, to be honest, because they are schizophrenic. They can beat the elite, and they've not done more than just beat Duke. Yeah. They can beat the elite and they can lose to anybody. Let's try to figure them out this way. I'm very much against we kind of know what Illinois is. We kind of know what Indiana, you know. I'm not saying they shouldn't be in, but Miami would be my choice there. But here's the one thing on the side off it. When I look at the teams out, and I know there'll be bid stealers, but when I look at the teams out, I really only see Miami and BYU as teams out that the committee could go for. Usually the bubble is at least a little deeper on parity, even if it's not quality. I don't see the parity here. I really believe there is a drop-off right at the bubble. And, you know, Miami and those Big Ten schools, Purdue, et cetera, and BYU are all fighting, and whoever goes further in their tournament, it will be in, and the others will be out.
Yeah, I mean, the top eight seeds that we have a combined, what, do they even have 10 losses between them? And so when that happens, at the other end, you get, you know, it's hard for a team to get on a bubble when none of them are going to be able to beat Kentucky or Kansas or Villanova. But at the same time, for Miami, the team that did that, I could totally agree with Joby and see Miami getting in, and I would be fine with it. A team that will not be getting in at large, and I cannot help but mention, congratulations again to Tim Kloos and the Iona College Gaels on just finding a way. Just finding a way to underachieve again. But
on that note, I'm going to reveal the 13 line, and we magically see here Manhattan getting in a bid where everybody seemed to have voted some other team. But
because Iona is not an at-large team under any circumstances. I don't care how much Tim Kloos wants to go to the New York Times and tell 350 other coaches that they aren't doing it right. You better win a game like tonight if you're going to pop your mouth off like that. And a guy who's been humbled himself over the last year, what a year for Steve Masiello. Holy crap. He went from the outhouse to the penthouse. I mean, it was South Florida, but back to the outhouse, and he's back in the penthouse again, back in the NCAA tournament. Good for Steve Masiello, a good guy who's been beaten up publicly over the last year, and his team really came to play for him tonight. And the Manhattan Jaspers are going back to the tournament. And
wow, do you think they're all the way up here on the 13?
Like I said, there had been another team there with a four-letter name. We needed a change about 10 seconds ago, and so we have Manhattan here. We may make a slight adjustment to this before we post it by tomorrow. They probably are more of a 14 seed than a 13. We'll just go quickly through it and reveal the other lines here. At the 14 line, we see there NC Central, Belmont, UC Davis, Georgia State.
No, they're better than all those teams.
I'd agree they are better, so maybe they do belong in the 13 line. So.
Oh, man. That is, God. I love this UC Davis team. They're the only team I can make a case for that should be up on the other line. Georgia State, wow, on the 14. How bad? Oh, what a drop-off.
Okay, yeah.
I do think it's awesome, though, that NC Central is on this line. Like, when I did my bracket, I can't remember another year where the MEAC and the SWAC teams were this comfortably not in Dayton if the favorites went out, on mine, anyway.
And if we take a look at the 15 line here, we do see that Texas Southern team going up against Kansas. A real interesting game in Seattle, Gonzaga, yeah. Eastern Washington.
They used to play regularly. They don't anymore. That's a fun one. That would be good.
Mm-hmm. And that's the Washington team that, of course, beat Indiana earlier in the season. That win actually has gotten less impressive as the season's gone on. But it should be enough to keep them out of the first four, certainly.
Joby, I know how much you love that Charlotte region with Ohio State, NC State there already. Let's take a look at who Duke is going to be playing in the first round.
Oh, God.
Wow. Well, you know what? If you think about it, if Coastal wins their tournament, they're likely to be in the tournament. Virginia. That is a real seeding, you know, that will happen.
Yeah, they're
fellas.
Cliff Ellis.
History coaching against Coach K, all right? I mean, that is – I know they're a 16 seed, but that is a scary 16 seed for Duke to have to face in terms of being able to game plan and match up against the Blue Devils. I mean, I think Duke wins. I'm not going to say that they're going to lose that game, but I expect Coastal to hang around in that game. I've seen enough of Duke in the past years. We've seen them as a one seed struggle.
Right. Let's go through it. Let's go through it.
First 10 minutes.
I want to go through
everybody and get your thoughts on the bracket as a whole now that we see it. Let's start with you, Warren.
I think we hit some of the main points. I think the top eight teams are really strong. And then there's a good batch. About 12 more teams after that all have really good chances. I mean, I think they're all in the right places, and they kind of will be challenges for those top eight. And then the rest, I feel they're kind of in the right place, but they're really not very strong after that. And that point we made earlier about the last four in, last four out, these in years past would be teams that we just say they're out. They don't have a chance. And I think right now what happens in those first rounds, second round of the tournaments that they're in is going to either maybe give them a little boost or knock them right out.
John, any comments?
I'm seeing two intriguing matchups in the first round here. First one being Notre Dame and Valpo in Columbus, pair of next-door neighbors in Indiana. And the second matchup that I like is Arkansas versus SFA. This could be a game that goes into the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised FSA is this high, but when I look at the 13 line, it's like, well, who do you move up there?
And I'll tell you that SFA was pretty consistently on the 12 line across pretty much everybody's bracket here.
Okay. I mean, there's stratification. Once you get past the 12 line, it's real bad. Like, you can't make a case for really many of those teams down there. One slight thing is, I don't know, I guess South Dakota State and New Mexico State in terms of the first four, and the WAC is so horrific. Like, I know New Mexico State comfortably won it, is on a winning streak, but it's against some bottom barrel teams. I would be surprised in that situation if New Mexico State wasn't in the first four and South Dakota State was. I know the WAC would love New Mexico State in there. They need the cash.
I personally would have had North Florida above the first four. A couple of you put them at the bottom of the list entirely, but with the two wins over Florida Gulf Coast, including on the road, I think that may be enough that they may be the team that can sneak up and drop New Mexico State down.
Mm-hmm. And I also, just as a soft spot, I hope that St. Francis isn't in there, although I know they absolutely it's where they should be, just because it's such a cool story this year. But, I mean, you know, they schedule tough, but yeah, I mean their best win is Columbia. I mean it's hard to
Get them out. If they win tomorrow night, they'll be there, and I do hope they are there because I hope they, you know, that they do get into the tournament.
Yeah, I hope they get in.
The thing is, remember, there are going to be bid stealers. We talk about, hey, the MEAC and SWAC champions are comfortably in. Well, that is if North Carolina Central and Texas Southern are the winners. If they get upset, well, there's one of your teams in Dayton.
Yeah, for the MEAC and SWAC this year, they're either having a 12 seed or an absolute first 14. Like, there is no depth. But it's progress that they have teams that are this solid, and it's good to see because – the schedules are so tough. We know what the athletic departments are just struggling to just make any costs in the MEAC and the SWAC, and they've got everything against them in terms of a logistical standpoint and organizational support. It's good to see teams like NC Central, like Norfolk State a few years ago, they did against Missouri. That was a very good Norfolk State team.
Yeah.
With this, you know, NC Central team, that there are some really – I mean, these aren't just token bids if those teams get in. Those are dangerous teams. If anybody else gets in, St. Francis won't have to worry about the first four because it's going to be a bottom four team, unfortunately. The depth is
Joby, I didn't get your final thoughts on the bracket as a whole. Do you have any?
What I look at, and I know that this is all fluid, but I look at two really dynamite sub-regionals as we have them. We've talked about the Charlotte component just – if you wonder why North Carolina seems to have a sub-regional every year, it's because they sell out, and they sell out big. You know, whether it's UNC, Duke, or another team in that region. Look at that. Amazing, amazing group of teams that could easily find themselves in Charlotte. The other component is I love that Louisville bracket. You know, when we're looking at what possibly could be Cincinnati, Kentucky in the Louisville, in the Yum Center, wow, that's kind of fun.
You know, this matchup for Kentucky.
Yeah. I guarantee you who the fans
would be. It's not a fun matchup for anybody. John's exactly right. So I look at fun sub-regionals that could pop up down the line, you know, along with, you know, the Big East remake regional in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas SFA, I would clear my calendar. I would do nothing but listen to 90s songs all day. That is a 1993 style. I mean, I want Loyola Marymount to suddenly somehow make the field. I mean, if that game comes down. That is old school right there. I know, Joby, it would hurt your sensibilities to see teams actually scoring points on purpose, but it would really be fascinating to watch. And I'm sorry, Carolina hosts every year. They sell out. Oh, you mean so getting Duke or North Carolina sells tickets? Wow, yeah, I could totally see that happening if Kansas hosted every year. I'm sorry. I know they sell out. Well, they got Duke and Carolina there. Louisville, if you put one in Louisville, or if you alternated between – if Louisville and Kentucky didn't hate each other so much, the smart thing to do would alternate Rupp Arena and the Yum Center every year, then you'd get the same thing. But they hate each other so much.
I think they're starting to do that, Zach. Louisville's – hosting a lot of regionals. I bet you Jacksonville will not sell out.
I better not say that.
Absolutely. It's amazing.
Are you aware that Louisville tried to, because it's in the lease that Kentucky cannot play at the Yum Center, and they were trying to enforce that for the NCAA tournament a couple years ago?
Are the balls still available? Or are they just strictly doing horse shows and tractor pulls now?
No, Kentucky plays in Freedom Hall every year. I think no, or they didn't this year.
David, any final thoughts by you on this bracket?
Yeah, just one. I agree with what everybody else has said. I will say this: I really don't like Temple's profile, and if this were to come to fruition and they were to ruin it for everybody, I would hate Temple even more. We need Maryland and Georgetown to play.
I'll tell you what we really need is a couple of bids to get stolen somewhere along the line here. We almost had it in the Missouri Valley, but we need to get Indiana and Illinois off of this field too. So that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, Temple has the best win of anybody in that sub-regional, but other than that, yeah, you make a great point.
They just need to not beat Georgetown.
I'm
so
personally
disappointed
because we have a chance to have a Xavier Georgia game, and it has to come to pass.
Yeah.
All they do, they have to play. It's a bizarro matchup that happens a lot.
Yes.
It would be terrible basketball, though.
Oh, yeah.
Another one.
Anyone else have any final thoughts? Lee or anyone else have any final thoughts on the bracket?
Georgia has to win for Xavier Georgia to be a rivalry, though. Let me just make that point.
That's yes. I guess Warren, I would ask you. I mean, as an OU guy, if I were you, I would feel really good about that Louisville sub-regional. I think Oklahoma's winning the Big 12 tournament. I guess how far do you see OU going in a bracket like this? This is an OU team that really seems to be hitting its stride at the perfect time.
Wherever they get put, I think they're going to do just fine in the middle, and then whoever the 1 and 2 is, because they're not going to be a 1, they're going to be a 2, they're going to be a 3, and whatever 1 and 2 they're put up against. I mean, I think they'll do better against like a Gonzaga, Arizona, than if they got stuck right there with Wisconsin and Kentucky. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, that would suck. But that would be a tough draw. But otherwise, I really like the way this OU team is headed. But man, I would almost hate if we had Kentucky and Wisconsin in the same region. I know it's probably going to happen, but
that to me
feels like it was in the Final Four last year. It should be again, but. As long as we get it, I guess I'll be happy, you know?
Well, on that note, I think we've covered just about everything here. Unless anyone else has any final thoughts, we're going to call it a night. I want to thank everybody for joining us, and we'll get this bracket posted up on the website in the next few hours.